Good morning, church family. This morning I'm reading from Mark 3, 13 through 15, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils.
Before we kneel, I'd like to ask that little girl that had prayer up here, the one in the rainbow Joseph many colors coat on, would you like to come up and join us? The congregation is invited to kneel. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to be able to worship here today with these wonderful people, with this wonderful music. We thank you for our Sabbath school lessons, especially this quarter with the fiery furnace and the lion's den and your miraculous deliverance. And we know that same God is alive and well today, ready to bless us in our every need. We pray for faith and strength for a closer walk with Jesus and to better represent you wherever we go and whatever we do. This sermon title today on community and evangelism, I think of our school, dear Lord. 4 freshman girls, only 4 girls in their freshman class. The newspapers, TV news, has them on top of our division, headed for the state finals. They emphasize only school qualifying for the finals. Pray for those girls. Amen. They're taking more than a volleyball into those units. They're taking the name of Jesus wherever they go. Having prayer with the teams. Coaches are coming out. Referees are coming out. Joining that circle. We ask your blessing on our game tonight. And our last game next Saturday night. May the love of Jesus go with us. Bonnie and I are meeting friends from the other teams we don't know. Talking to them. Looking forward to us coming to their school, them coming back to ours. One lady told me she didn't know our school was here. Our young people are changing that. TV, the newspapers is changing that. May this church and this school be a light on this hill, shining out through this community. We love you, Lord. We ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings. We pray for the Holy Spirit. I think of Peter the fisherman, foul mouth, foul smelling. You filled him with the Holy Spirit. He became so powerful that when he walked down the street and his shadow touched someone suffering, they were healed. Amen. We pray for that Holy Spirit today. These Sabbath school lessons we're studying today, these prophets saw our day in their visions. We're here, right at the hem of the garment. Help us, dear Lord, to share this message. You've done so much for us. We ask for those that are suffering, for homes that need help. This world is filled with tragedy and disasters, storms, hideous diseases. We're promised that someday soon that will end. May we all be ready for that day. We pray in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan. You read us. Beautiful. Praising God. Wow, it's good to see all these young people up here. Amen. Finally, and I say this very kindly, finally, there's not a Pathfinder event. We'd love to have you young people, but we're also glad you're actively involved in the church. So, last week, my wife and I are out shopping, and I asked her the question, would you like to have some beautiful long-stemmed roses, or would you rather have a big tray of primroses that you get to plant in the yard? What do you think she chose? No, she chose the primroses. Is that what you said? Yeah, she chose the primroses. She wanted the primroses. So I felt good about that because, you know, they'll live longer. And then she asked me, what do you want for Valentine's Day? And without hesitation, I said, that you plant them. Shame on me. I'll help her. I promise I'll help her. So that's your Valentine's sermon. Sorry. That's it. I want to take a look at the model of community and evangelism is given to us by Jesus. But I want to start out first by thanking you. Those of you that were involved and blessed in the last 4 weeks of Final Empire. You opened up your homes, you had a leader, and you had a group, and you shared Final Empire, and it was quite revealing to a lot of people, quite revealing, a lot of interesting things, that some things I didn't even know in those moments of teaching. We had about 10 groups, and over 100 people attended, you know, not every week, but over 100 people were attending those groups, and many pre-Adventists. I just praise God for that, because we're touching people's hearts. So now we have basically what I call a jump start on discipleship groups, a ministry that we will continue to grow into other groups, reaching out to our neighbors and friends. This is the ministry that has been modeled to us by Jesus. You might be surprised. This is the ministry modeled to us by Jesus himself. In the next 3 weeks, our focus will be on spiritual formation. They'll be a little simpler, but dynamic. There'll be a lesson on Nicodemus, a lesson on Thomas, and a lesson on Zacchaeus, each in relationship with Jesus. If you're not part of a small group, I encourage you to take the step forward and invite yourself to one of our small groups, talk to the leader or host, become part of that small group. Then starting in March, we'll be looking at discovering Revelation. And we're going to go for 13 weeks in the book of Revelation, but it's going to be somewhat different because basically what we're going to look at in Revelation is some of our basic teachings that we at Adventists teach. Some of our core beliefs that we find in scriptures and even in the book of Revelation. So you won't want to miss that. You want to become part of that. And if you're interested in being a group leader or a host, there'll be some further trainings. Let me know so we make sure you don't miss those trainings because we'd love to have you. And talking about group leaders, one of the things that I didn't mention to you, I should have, as you fill out that survey for church officers, if you might have noticed, you know, one of the things we expect of the elders is to preach. So they preach once in a while. So kind of keep that in mind if you think you want to be an elder. And the other thing is that I expect the elders to be part of a small group ministry, either leading a small group or coaching a small group. And it's very, very important. It's part of the ministry of eldership. Like I said, these gentlemen and ladies, sometimes we have ladies, are very busy in ministry, very busy. And I praise the Lord for the elders we have in our church. they have been a great blessing to me personally as we continue leading this church. So let's take a look. Let's take a look. By the way, I hear some groups might be dropping off, and I hope that maybe they'll start back up soon. But pray about it. Pray about it. But let's take a look at just why we should continue being actively involved in small groups. Why should we be actively involved in small groups? First, a little review. A little review, if you don't mind. Whoa. Boy, I think our two military minds might like that picture. Huh? Ha! Is it really necessary? That's a question. Is it really necessary? Why should I? Why should I? What's the best answer? Because Jesus modeled it for us. That's the best answer. That's why we should. Jesus modeled. According to our scriptures reading this morning, we are to spend time with Jesus, spreading the truths of God's word that he's given us with authority, and winning the battle over Satan's army. Rescuing people for the kingdom of God. That's our marching orders. Stop and think about it. That is our marching orders. Let me remind you of a couple quotes I shared a year or so ago. Just a couple quotes. The minister should at first seek not so much to convert unbelievers as to secure his army of workers. As to secure his army of workers. Let him labor for the members of the church individually, seeking to arouse them to gain a deeper experience themselves and to work for others. And to work for others. Secure an army of workers. You, my dear friends, are an army. You are an army of workers. Yeah, I know you don't come to church here for me to entertain you because I'm not a very good entertainer. No, you come here because you're an army. Our army meets together every Sabbath. Every Sabbath. You are to be a company of soldiers organized to do battle. Sometimes in this world, especially in the United States, where things are so nice and smooth, and going, we forget we are at war. We're at war. We are in a battle for salvation of those who don't even know Jesus yet. The question is, are we really organized? Are we really organized and moving out in the battlefield? Or are we on AWOL? You know what that is, right? That's right. Interesting. Are we moving together on the mission given to us, or are we each just doing our own thing? Are we organized as a church? Next quote. If the minister would instruct his people, he might have an army to help him with diffusing the light when a crisis comes in the work. If the minister, there's the big one, if the minister would instruct, pray for me. This is my job. This is the marching orders that have been given to me. If a minister would instruct his people, we might have an army. We might have an army. Sometimes I feel that the army is just doing their own thing. I'll be honest with you. But maybe it's not your fault. Maybe I'm not giving clear enough instructions. Have I got your attention yet? We're in a battle. We're in a battle, and we must be better organized to win those who are in captivity. We're an army, and friends, in my opinion, we have got to win. We have got to win this battle with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're going to be guilty of souls lost for the kingdom of heaven. The Lord's army on a mission from God. Yes, we are in a battle. We have our marching orders, correct? Matthew 28. That's our marching orders. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's our marching orders. Go and make disciples. As I was looking and researching and coming up with different thoughts on this topic, I happened to come across David, and I was totally shocked. I just didn't realize the vastness of his army. When his army was pulled together, are you ready for this? When his army was pulled together to go conquer Saul and the kingdom, he had over 300,000 soldiers. I didn't realize that. He had 337,122 soldiers that went to do battle for him. And then I got to thinking, and I was working along, and I thought, that's interesting. I was reading along, and it says, when Moses was getting the children of Israel to move out from Mount Sinai and head to the promised land, is that where we're heading? I hope so. When he organized, God told him, he says, you count all the males 20 years and older that they may do battle for you as you move out into the promised land. You know how many soldiers Moses had? He had over 600,000, twice as many as David had. 600,000 soldiers. I should have checked up. I don't know what our membership is in our church. But we have a large army. We have a large army, and I want to tell you right now, I'm so glad I'm not at the top. Yeah. My little company here is enough for me. It's enough for me. So let's take another look, just for a moment, at the structure of an army. I showed you something similar to this before. Structure of an army. There you have it, if you can read it. An army is made up of 50,000. And that army is usually divided into two or more corps. A corps is made up of 20 to 45,000. That's divided into divisions. A division is made up to 10 to 15,000. That's divided into brigades. Brigades are made up of 3 to 5,000. That's divided into companies. No, battalions, excuse me. Battalions are ranging from 300 to 1,000, and then they're organized down to companies. Companies are from 50 to 3,000, and they're organized into platoons. Platoons are 15 to 50 people. They're organized into squads. Squads are 8 to 15 people, and they're organized into maneuver teams. The maneuver teams are 3 to 6 soldiers. Now, as you look at this chart, what do you see Valley View as in this chart? If we're an army, are we a brigade? Not hardly, are we? What are we? Company. We are a company. That's approximately 120 to 50 that come to church each Sabbath. On our books, we have about 300. So we're in the company status. Valley View is only one company working together corporately within the battalion of companies, that is working corporately in a brigade of battalions, that is working corporately with a division of brigades, that is working corporately with a corps of divisions that make up the army of God. And I am so thankful I'm just at company status. Now, you know, in case you want to know, being a leader of an army is not easy. I mean, when I feel sorry for myself, I say, praise God I wasn't Moses. I mean, can you think of some of the things he had to go through? But he loved his people. And I love you. He even had them turn against him. The army of God. Let's focus on the company status just for a moment. Company status, 50 to 300. That's you. You are a company that come together every Sabbath to worship. A company comes together to worship God and get directions, to learn, to grow, and to praise our mighty King for everything he's done for us. That's the company status. But within the army structure, if you please, that is broken down then into platoons. And platoons are 16 to 50 people, and I put them down as specialty groups. And we have those. You know, men's ministry, pathfinders, Sabbath school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we have these specialty groups. But even we need to go further and break it down to squads. That's 8 to 15 people. And that's our small groups. And so far, we have, right now we have 10. Might drop back to about 8. Then we'll start building up. Our goal is to have 20 small groups by the end of this year. The challenge I have is the same as Moses has, somewhat. And that is, you're all volunteers. So I can't force you to do something. You can just stay in company status if you want. Or you can become actively involved and move into squad status. But even a squad is not the end. You see, we have the manure teams, or which we call the triads. And you folks have experienced both the small groups and the triads. And I challenge you to continue. This is our goal. I cannot force you. But as your leader, and if you want to talk about ranks, probably beginning first lieutenant, down to the bottom, you know. You're my army. That's why I push what I push, to organize that we can do better in the battle that we're fighting for Jesus Christ, to reach out and touch souls for Jesus. I have my marching orders, and I'll do the best I can to follow them. Let me ask you, in your personal opinion, where will the work most effectively take place? Seriously. Where would we really experience community among ourselves? Personal relationships and community can be found in the church at large group meetings and in specialty groups, but the strongest personal relationships and true community are only found in the smallest levels. Small groups and triads. Where would we really experience personal evangelism? Again, the strongest evangelistic units are found in the smallest levels, small groups and triads. They are so important. They are so important that God keeps us so busy that we don't have time to do them. Excuse me, not God, Satan. Satan keeps us so busy that sometimes I have to ask my question, are we so busy? Are we too busy for God? And to march with him? I have to ask myself a question. From many to 12. You see, he was a master teacher. Master teacher. Jesus taught thousands. He taught thousands, as Scripture describes. He was not there as only a provider of information, though, but he had compassion on the people as he's teaching. He had compassion. He cared for them. He loved them. And the people who came to him, he cherished them. But according to Luke 6, there is something very important that he did. One of those days, Jesus went up to the mountain, he prayed. And he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them. He chose a small group. It's not something he took lightly. He spent all night praying about it. It was God-ordained, personal invitation he gave to join him in ministry. The interesting thing about that invitation, as I look at it, when Jesus asked those 12 disciples to join him, is that they had to have the willingness to accept the invitation. They had to have the willingness to commit themselves to what Jesus was asking them to do. So both parties had strong commitment. Both parties had strong. And this is required of effective discipleship. Scripture describes the intent of this small group was relationship. They would be with Jesus. This does not represent just an hour a week as you look at Jesus' model. No. They were doing life together throughout the week. Traveling together, eating together. They spent more than just an hour a week together. They ministered together, they traveled together, they ate together. Having poured into their lives, the 12 would be taught and equipped to share the mission, the message that Jesus was giving them. It was not meeting together for the sake of meeting. No, they did that. They met together. It wasn't for the sake of fellowship, though they had it also. It wasn't for the sake of teaching. They were experienced teachings with Jesus also. Jesus wanted them to be equipped to reproduce what he was giving them, to reproduce and experience the ministry, the heartfelt desire to win souls for Jesus. That's what it was all about. Jesus would give them the power and authority to accomplish his mission within that small group. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Timothy, we find the words given to us echoing what Jesus was trying to model. Be imitators of me. As I am of Christ. 2 Timothy. Then you, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We are to live our lives with other believers in community so that we can model what it means to live under the Lordship of Christ. We are to invest in others in such a way that they will be able to invest in others in the same way, and the chain goes on and on. Are we living in that kind of community? This is a picture of discipleship that occurs in small groups over and over as modeled by Jesus. From 12 to 3. From 12 to 3. Jesus did invest in the 12. But from that group, he chose Peter, James, and John. Why 3? It's interesting, Desire of Ages, if you read the chapter on Jesus choosing the 12, it's very interesting that it states in there in one of the paragraphs that out of those 12, he mentions 7 others. And she says, these 7 were closer to Jesus than the rest of the 12. And then she goes on and she mentions the 3, Peter, James, and John. And she says, Peter, James, and John were closer than the rest of the disciples. And then she goes a step further and she's out of those 3 is John. John was the closest to Jesus than any of the disciples. And you know why? She tells us. Because his was more of a receptive spirit. And he spent more time with Jesus than any of the others. Wow. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus displays his authority to those 3 and the power over death. But he only did that to the 3. In Mark 14, Jesus pulled the 3 away from the rest of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus revealed part of his glory in the presence of these 3. Why? Because there's a greater intimacy in the small group. On the mountain, Christ wanted to choose the 3 to have a greater understanding of who he was. The disciples who had only known him in human body would now have a greater realization of the deity of Christ, but only the 3. They obviously were impacted by it. Because John wrote in the gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He saw something more than just a human being. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see the intimacy, as the groups get smaller, the intimacy gets closer. Peter also wrote of it. He says, for we did not follow clearly devised myths. We made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne in him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Just the 3. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. We are with him on the holy mountain. Intimacy, closeness, smaller. John shared his testimony of experiencing deeper community. Peter shared his testimony. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 2, James was killed for his faith in Christ. It reads, that King Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. All testifying of Jesus' love. As Jesus provided a deeper understanding of his identity to these three, we are encouraged to do the same. Not just a company, but small groups. Not just small groups, but triads. Because in triads, we become so close that the intimacy becomes so strong that we sense the presence of Jesus. Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. One person is not sharpened in a large group. We intentionally seek our relationships on a personal level where we can to share deeper understanding of our identity with one another, share our struggles, our victories, while holding each other accountable for spiritual growth. That's what triads are about. Here is an undeniable truth. The larger the group in which we are participating, the more shallow the interactions. This directly impacts the spiritual growth of the Lord's church. Let's look at your participation here in Valley View for a moment. If you are only attending worship service, you're participating at the company level. There will be a few, if any, intimate relationships, but it's likely you will not be involved in the ministry or discipleship, both of which God's designed for all of us as a people. You may feel like you're a part of the family of God, but in reality, you're still disconnected if the worship service is all you come to. This is why small groups are part of God's plan, modeled by Jesus, hopefully becoming part, if you please, of the DNA of Valley View. We need that community in order to be a strong army for God. To provide you an opportunity to connect with other believers in a meaningful way. An effective small group will share praises and needs and struggles. An effective small group will study and discuss God's word together and will apply the truths to their lives. An effective small group will pray for each other in the group throughout the week. An effective small group will join together in fellowship. An effective small group will join together in mission and ministry. Some have asked, well, isn't Sabbath school and prayer meeting small groups? In some way it is, but it's not as effective. If prayer meeting were and Sabbath school were what they originally were meant to be, then I'd have to say yes. But in most Sabbath schools and prayer meetings, there is really no mission for the lost. We as Adventists have we love truth, praise God. We love to be taught, praise God. And we have some tremendously good teachers, even in this company. But the problem is we just internalize. What about them out there? I know some of you are probably thinking right now that I've gone from preaching to middling. Maybe. Yeah. If you're not part of a small group, I just want to tell you, you are missing out on God's design for spiritual growth. As your Lord Christ leads you to intimacy with other believers, and without it, you are a lone soldier in an army of Christians. If you are a small group leader, I pray you will be challenged to follow the example of Jesus. Lead your group with experience, genuine prayer, ministry, missions, and fellowship together. If you are already a participant in a small group, but are lacking this intimacy modeled by Jesus, take the initiative. Work with your small group leader and set up local mission work. Opportunity, grow groups. Volunteer to be a prayer leader. Assign people to contact those who are missing in action. Minister to each other as needs arise. If we do not love each other in this way, we are missing the point. Get out your Connect cards. Take out your Connect cards, and I know some of you just don't do it. I like to challenge you. I like to even dare you to take out your Connect cards and fill them out. This is a chance. This is a chance for you to make decisions. You know, it's very interesting to me. I came across an article here just recently. This would be good for Sabbath school teachers and prayer leaders. This is a great article that came out. The danger of teaching without application. That's what Connect cards are all about. There's a danger in teaching without application. So it gets a chance for you to apply to your life. It's a chance for you to write a note. Very interesting to me. This article says, we assume people will make their own connections to applications. Not. They won't. We leave the application to the Holy Spirit. The problem is that you're the tool, or I'm the tool for the Holy Spirit, so I need to ask you to make application to what you teach. The application is too convicting. It makes people feel uncomfortable. It makes more time and effort. Yes, it does. Application is important. Important in our ministry. Evangelist comes along, he preaches a series of sermons, and what does he do? Give you a card at the end to fill out. Application. The article says, if we are preaching sermons, or if we are teaching Sabbath school and do not have application, we are destroying the church. Ouch. I challenge you. What are you going to do with this message today? I invite you to fill out the cards. Again, no. I dare you to fill it out. May my church be a company of platoons, squads, and maneuver teams. Number two, Lord, help us to experience weekly the Christian life of sharing together, studying together, applying your word, fellowshipping, and mission. And last, I plan to be part of a small group as Jesus modeled. That could be a discipleship group or a triad. For those that are desire to be a leader or host, let us know. We'll have training down the line quickly. You may write a prayer request on your card. You may write a reaction to this teaching. You may even say, Pastor, it's time for you to look for another church. You've gone from preaching to middling. It's your choice. You got a card. Communicate with me. Jesus gave the model of community and evangelism, people. Let's follow Jesus and do ministry as he modeled. Father God, I want to thank you for this company. this people, the young people. Father, bless them. Help us to become better organized to do the work that you've given us. Fill us with your Spirit, Father. We need you. Because without you, Father, we're nothing. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.